National Crisis, Bible Study Lesson Number 32, March the 3rd, 2009. We're dealing with Samuel, God's man of the hour, a man who stood in the gap of human. Before we begin, we'll pause for a moment of silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're under the filling of the Spirit. You have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and peace. We ask take this doctrinal teaching that we're making sanctified and blessed, and let it be a challenge and a blessing to all those who study it. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now Samuel has moved on to the field of battle to serve his country, but he served it despite the spiritual apostasy within the land. Samuel has been the epitome of spiritual leadership. He stood in a gap where Eli had failed and moved forward, as we have seen. We have now reached the point where age is setting in on Samuel. It came to pass, 1 Samuel 8:1, about when Samuel was old, he appointed his sons judges over Israel. Samuel was old, he appointed his judges. Now this may not mean a lot to you. Samuel got old and he made his two sons, and you say, why? Well, 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is God-breathed and given for doctrinal teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteous men of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Doctrinal correct translation. The historical books of the Bible are there for us to learn from. Now, we need to learn from history. We need to observe what's going on in the world around us. Now, people fail to see this. Jamnai, in his Art of War, said, military history accompanied by sound criticism is indeed the true school of war. Well, we're in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. I quoted to you from the strategy yesterday by one of the classes by Liddell Hart, trying to prepare you to understand something. You need to learn how to correctly interpret the history that is going on around us. We need to know and understand. George Santayana, in The Life of Reason in 1906, said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Now, we will either learn what God has to say on the subject and take it fully at His word, or we will lose. Alfred Thayer Mahan, the great naval expert, and wrote, the study of history lies at the foundation of a sound military conclusions and practice. Well, we're in spiritual warfare, and we need to learn to follow the orders of the day Christ's way. We need to read things the way that Christ would have us to read them. We have to learn how to follow the Lord's orders. The military maxim is the first duty of the soldier is obedience. Mahan, in his Retrospect and Prospect, said the duty of obedience is not merely military but moral. It is not arbitrary rule but one essential and fundamental, the expression of a principle without which military organizations would go to pieces and military success would be impossible. Clausewitz on war wrote, "There is nothing in war which is of greater importance than obedience." Lord St. Vincent said, "Discipline is summed up in one word, obedience." The Emperor Qing Tsai of China, 1654 to 1722, in the closing phrase of an imperial rescript said, "Tremble and obey." Xenophon, in his Cyropaedia, says, "Willing obedience always beats forced obedience." Order is the key issue. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Alexander Pope, in his essay on man, said, "Order is heaven's first law." Marshall von Hindenburg, during the socialist disorders of 1919, said, "Ordnung muss sein." There must be order. Now, you have to learn to think orderly in fashion and understand what is going on. The doctrine of old age is going to be important to you and to me. You say, "But I'm young or I'm old." What difference does it make? Because there is a biblical doctrine of old age. When it says here that Samuel is old, we have two statements on Samuel being old. 8:1, "And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, he appointed his sons judges over Israel." Samuel was old. He appointed his sons judges over Israel. The word is Zalkan. Z-A-Q-E-N, pronounced like Zal, Z-A-W, then K-A-N-E, Zonkane. Actually, because you got the emphasis on the kan. It's a primitive root word meaning to be old, aged man, to be waxed, an old man. We read on, "Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second was Abiu. They were judged in Beersheba. His sons Aaron did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. And all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and I said unto him, Behold, you have grown old, and your sons did not walk in your ways." All right, they brought two charges against him. One, "You've grown old." One, "Your sons don't walk in your way." And then they brought up the real issue. "Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations." They want to be, read from the New American Standard Translation, "They want to be like the other nations." This is their plan of action. We have the same word for old in both cases. Now back in 1 Samuel 4:15, Eli was 98 years old. We have a different word for old there in the Hebrew. We have Bun, B-E-N, the widest sense of builder, the leader of the family, a son. This is used in the Hebrew commonly to pronounce a son. I have a friend of mine, pastor down in Medford, Oregon. He writes me emails from time to time and signs them John Ben Medford, and I write back to him signing John Ben Shoreline, town that we live in. So there was a distinction there in the Hebrews between these two words. We need to be technical in our studies. All right, let's look at the doctrine of old age, because it is not a sin to grow old. Often people grow old, they are disrespected. That point one definition, I don't know how long ago it's been since I've taught this doctrine, I don't remember teaching it in years. It goes back to 1978, though. One definition, A, old is a term for the passing of time and relates to the effects of time on an object. Look at Psalm 90, verse 10. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Now, verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are like yesterday when it passed by, or as a watch in the night. So we have a comparison here. The longest span of any human being after the fall was Methuselah, living 969 years. But that's not even a complete day to God, who is no more bound by time than a man who sleeps through the night watch. God is the infinite being who is not limited by time and space. But then we find that the average age of a man should be 70 years. If he lives to be 80, God has blessed him with old age, as God had reduced down the time of life. Now, the words, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon as gone we fly away, shows that old age brings with it the extension of life as a mixed blessing. It's a mixed blessing. B, some people appear to be growing old at 20. And some appear to be young at 70. C. Age is viewed differently according to the age of the one considering it. D. The Bible states that old age begins at 60 years of age, 1 Timothy 5:9. I'm old, I'm past 60. You say, well, past 60, all right, no problem. Let the widow be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. These were widows who ordinarily would have had no financial means of support, were to be cared for by their families if possible, in verse 4. If support was not available from that source, the church should take care of them. In such cases, the women were called widows indeed. Young widows were encouraged to remarry, verse 14, but those over 60 and destitute could be placed on official relief rolls of the church, in verse 9. Those enrolled widows considered a kind of order of widows who were expected to devote themselves to prayer and good works. All right, point E. The age of 60 is merely a technical term for separating one principle from another. F, age is relevant because of the test it brings in life. Point 2, old people are to be treated with respect regardless of their own personal repulsiveness. Leviticus 19:32. You shall rise up before the gray head and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God, and I am the Lord. We're under a mandate to show respect to our elders. A lot of people don't like that idea. They look down on elderly people. I have a friend of mine who's middle 70s now. Years ago, I was trying to get men, encourage men to invite this man, great Bible teacher. I said, you should have this man. Some of them studied underneath him, worked underneath him, trained underneath him. I said, you should invite him to come and speak. You should have conferences for him. On a consistent basis, he should be paid the honor that's often paid in so-called denominational groups and things to people that have developed a reputation within them as a faithful Bible teacher and all. But when you're independent and every operation is independent and people look at things differently, a lot of them have a different way of life. I know men who burned the bridges with older pastors, men who played a role in their lives because it got in their way. They were young and they were full of energy and God was going to take them there. Now they're getting older. The King James translation says, I shall raise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear God, I am the Lord. Notice something there. Rising up before the hoary head. The American Standard says the gray head. The rising up means to do reverence when they pass by. Stand up for them when they passed by was a Jewish custom, for which end they were obliged, as the Jews said presently, to sit down again when they were passed, that it might be manifest they arose out of respect for the elderly person. And fear God, a reason to the former precept, both old men in some respects do most resemble God, Matthew Poole points out, who is styled the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7, 9, and 13, because this respect is due to such. If not for themselves, who may be unworthy or contemptible, yet for God's sake, who requires this reverence, and whose singular blessing old age is. Every day I thank the Lord for one more day, and my wife thanks the Lord for one more day. Look at Proverbs 20:29. Proverbs 20:29. The glory of a young man is their strength, and the honor of the old man is their gray hair, the honor of the splendor. Well, most of my hair turned out, what's there is gray. But God expects us to pay honor. And you say, you're teaching this because you're an old man, and you want people to pay some honor to you. No, that's between you and Almighty God. I'm trying to prepare you to deal with other people, to deal with life and things. Many of the people who hear these tapes are old themselves. Maybe someone will show them a little respect that's due to them. Matthew Henry says, I shall rise up before the hoary head. Those whom God has honored with the common blessings of long life, we ought to honor. Those who in age are wise and good are worthy of double honor. Their credit and comfort must be carefully consulted, and their counsels asked and hearkened to. Job 32:6-7. He says, no religion teaches good manners and obliges us to give honor to those to whom God, whom honor is due. Look at Job 32:6-7. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life, says verse 4. Then we come down to verses 6 and 7. Behold, I belong to God like you. I too have been formed out of the clay. Behold, no fear of me should terrify you, nor... I'm sorry, that's Job 33. Job 32:6-7. My apology. I looked at the wrong page. My light is blinking here. I've got a light I need to get fixed. So Eli, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, spoke out and said, I am young in years and you are old. Therefore I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. I thought age should speak and increased years should teach wisdom. And then he goes on to attack and sound off. His principle is right, but his attitude is wrong. you should honor. Principle: parents are to teach their children respect for the elderly. Parents to teach their children respect for the elderly. That's what Proverbs 23 is all about there in verse 22. Listen to your father who begat you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Today, a lot of older people don't deserve respect. I realize that. Instead of taking the responsibilities of life, first of all, they don't want to grow old. The baby boomer generation is determined they're not going to grow old. I know baby boomer pastors who couldn't wait to push older men out of the way and step in. And now they're growing old and they don't want to give up. So they think change is the issue. Looking for something different. That's why we have, as one pastor has pointed out, we have churches now that have flagships, as he calls them. Flagships waving over them. One is the flagship of evangelism. One is the flagship of sending out missionaries or missionary support. One is the flagship of pushing individual soul winning. One is the flagship of music. One is the flagship of breaking the church down into little groups and cliques so that they can, everybody can fit together and find their own little niche for comfort zones and hang around a church and serve. One is children's outreach ministries, the Iwana programs and things like this. Another one is their singing, their hymnology, what they're singing, modern songs versus the old songs or whatever. And he throws in the fact that there's a group that emphasizes Bible teaching. But age is going to come, and people have to face the realities of old age. Men and women both are getting facelifts, you know, to take the all that sort of stuff, injections, Botox. Men wear toupees. They don't want to admit that they're growing old. We have to accept life and the fact that age is getting with us. Parents have to teach their children to respect the elderly. Nothing worse than to walk around, be a gray-haired, bald-headed, crippled-up old man using a cane, and have some 7, 8, or 9-year-old call you by your first name, and their parents think it's cute. No respect. If we were allowed to call an older person by their first name, it was always with the word Uncle or Aunt in front of it, which was kind of a southern colloquial, hillbilly way, whatever you want to call it, showing respect for people that you had a relationship with that were older, that was a more intimate relationship of friendship necessarily within the family ties, but were not blood kin. So you made them blood kin, the extended family, uncle or aunt. Son of a missionary. Dear missionary friend of mine, one of my close friends on the mission field, although we don't see each other often, I've spent a lot of time with him in eternity, Elmer George Mueller's son Eric, has called me Uncle John. Now, for some, 28 years, fully grown up man, all the rest. But since he was a little boy, 28 years ago would have been, is that right, 28 years ago? Yeah, 1981, that'd be 28 years ago. He's been calling me Uncle John. We respect that, we appreciate that. Now, sub point A. A person who reaches the age of 60, who is a believer or an unbeliever, has still spent 60 years in the angelic conflict and faced many pressures. Because both believers and unbelievers are part of the angelic conflict. B. Believers are a part of the angelic conflict on the side of Satan, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Unbelievers are a part of the angelic conflict, part of the armies of Satan, knowingly or unknowingly. Ephesians 2:1-3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Point D. Believers were entered into the royal army of God and became a part of the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict on God's side at the moment of salvation. No matter how young or old you were made a soldier in the royal army of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so he may be pleased as the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Enlisted is strategio, as we point out to you many times in the Greek. Principle. However, many believers never serve on active duty in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict, but they still face the pressures of it. Stand up when an elderly person enters the room is doctrinal. The principle to stand up when an elderly person enters the room is doctrinal. It represents a mental attitude of respect for the aged. But more than that, here's a key principle. It represents humility toward the Word of God. Now, we're not under the law. We don't have to stand up under the law for an elderly person. You should. Out of respect. We live in a day and age where elderly people don't get much respect. Why? Because the Word of God doesn't get much respect, for one thing. Douglas MacArthur, I don't care whether you like him or don't like him, Douglas MacArthur conquered a larger portion of the surface of this earth using land, air, land, and sea, than any man that ever lived on the face of this earth and conquered. Douglas MacArthur was an old man when he went to war in World War II. When World War II hit the Philippine Islands over there in the Philippines, it was the 8th of December 1941, because they're across the international date line. It was the 7th at Pearl, it was the 8th at there, and I think they had actually hit the Philippines on the 9th, but Pearl Harbor happened on the 8th. MacArthur was 61 years of age. 61 years of age. He was 70 in Korea when the Korean War broke out. Born the 26th of January 1880. The son of General Arthur MacArthur. Of course, he was only a captain at the time. He did Congressional Medal of Honor recipient in the war between the states and the Union Army. Was his father. Hero of the Philippine Islands before him. But General MacArthur, in modern history, General MacArthur ranks with George S. Patton, two greatest generals in modern American history. No question about it. Patton was not an old man in World War II, but Patton was forbidden to have field command at the beginning of the war. You see, when World War II broke out, Patton was only 56 years of age, 5 years younger than MacArthur. We took a threat of an act of Congress after we lost the Battle of Caterine Pass for the Army to wake up the hatred that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had and George Calhoun Marshall for George Smith Patton, and turn over to Patton the Armored Division. Caterine Pass, we suffered a disastrous defeat. And January 1942, the 1st Armored Corps by Patton had been molded into an efficient fighting force. He took command of the Western Task Force to take part of the North African campaign in November 1942. Started with an amphibious assault in Morocco, conducted with naval forces under Admiral Hewitt. On November 7th, he overcame the brave French resistance. The country was occupied. They fought the French first. The French Vichy government didn't see any Germans there at the first. I've talked to many who were there. And moved on from there. Patton was getting up there in age, but he had not yet. Sorry, I didn't catch the turnaround of the tape there. I was pointing out the ages of MacArthur and Patton. Patton, 5 years younger, was not yet classified as old age, but the government had classified him at 50. We need respect for the elderly. It's humility toward God. Point three, when a young person has a doctrinal respect for age, he will not speak while an older person is talking. He will not interrupt an older person. Job 32:6. So Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, spoke out and said, I am young in years and you are old. Therefore I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. He hesitated. Elihu was the son of Buz, the nephew of Abraham. Some people claim, according to Genesis 22:21, but I reject this because of the fact that that's a different Elihu, because Job is older than Abraham. Job is the Joab, the father of Abraham, the father of Job, who was the relative, as we pointed out, of Abraham, what was his great-grandfather, I think, if I remember correctly. Checking out the concept. Others want to change this down and make him the nephew of Abraham. But that would put Job down in the dispensation of the Hebrews, and yet Job is a Gentile, and that does not fit the patterns of Scripture. The concept here, though, is that there has to be respect. Now, it's true that wisdom always comes from God, but not always from older men. Job's friends, Elihu declares, are obviously not wise in spite of their age, since they failed to convince Job that his suffering was due to sin. You can be older and be out of line, but it doesn't change the attitude that we need to develop in respect. Hey, the teenager who doesn't respect his parents will not respect age, Proverbs 30:11-16. There's a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. There's a kind of man who is pure in his own eyes, yet not washed from his filthiness. There's a kind who how lofty are his eyes, and his eyelids are raised in arrogance. There's a kind of man whose teeth are like swords, and his jaw teeth like knives, to devour the afflicted from the earth, and the needy from among men. Picture four kinds of evil man: the disrespectful, the hypocrite, the proud, and the greedy. Now, it is arrogant to tell old people, what do you think about this? It's a principle I taught some 31 years ago. It is arrogant to tell old people that they are Bible doctrinally stupid when they have served God correctly for many years. What do you think about this? I know young people who want to argue, but now you're wrong about this, you're wrong about that. Let me tell you, I've read some book. Job 1 said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Verse 8, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Chapter 2, verse 3, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil, and he still holds fast his integrity, although you incite me against him to ruin him without cause. We contrast that to Job 4:1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered, "If one ventures a word with you, will you become impatient? But who can refrain from speaking? Behold, you have admonished many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have helped the tottering to stand, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come to you, and your impatience touches you, and you're dismayed. Is not your fear of God, your confidence, the integrity of your ways, your hope? Remember that whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright destroyed?" He goes on to rip Job apart. He goes on to rip Job apart. Each one of Job's friends ripped him apart. Each one of Job's friends ripped him apart. And Elihu comes on the scene, sitting there, and he speaks out. He talks about, "I waited for their words, I paid attention." Then he says in verse 21 of chapter 32, "Let me now be partial to no one, nor flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else my maker would soon take me away. However, now, Job, please hear my speech and listen to my word. Behold, now open my mouth, my tongue and my mouth speaks. My words are from uprightness in my heart, and my lips speak knowledge sincerely." He goes on from there. Point four. The old or aged are the targets for invading armies in the fifth and sixth cycles of divine discipline upon a nation, Deuteronomy 28:50. A nation of fierce countenance, who shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. Sub-point A, invading armies destroy old people. They do not respect either age or the very young. 2 Chronicles 37, 36-17. "Therefore he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of his sanctuary, and had no compassion on young men or virgin, old men or affirmed. He gave them all into his hand." Point five. Excessive pressure through circumstances, that's divine discipline, brings the manifestation of age to those being disciplined. Psalm 6:7. "Return, O Lord, rescue my soul." I'm sorry, it's verse 4, verse 7. Looked the wrong way in my bifocal down there. "My eyes were wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. Verse 8, "Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping." So excessive pressure through the circumstances of divine discipline brings the manifestation of age to those being disciplined. Psalm 32:3. And we'll give you an interesting principle as soon as we read the verse, one you may not have thought of. "When I kept silent my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all the day." While David kept silent, did not immediately confess his sin, God chastened him physically and emotionally. And here's the principle. Young people can feel old because of the discipline that God puts upon them when they have failed to walk in the things of the Lord. Verse 4 of Psalm 32. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my vitality was drained away. I'm sorry, I couldn't. Time to hit the pause button. Start over. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of the summer. Selah. Point 6. The problem of old age. Hey, old age is a time for many of being unteachable. Old age is a time for many of being unteachable. Ecclesiastes 4:13. A poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instructions. I know a lot of elderly Christians who are not interested in studying the Bible anymore. They want to sit around and be comfortable and talk about their grandchildren and talk about the church and talk about this. They may even want to serve God in doing things still, you know, working in some kind of a ministry or something. They may enjoy hymn singing. I love hymn singing. I love good hymn singing. I could sing hymns for 2 or 3 hours in a row. If I could preach for 2 or 3 hours afterwards, it'd really be great. But many people don't want in-depth teaching. The young don't want it because they think they know it all or don't need it. The old don't want it because they're tired of disciplining themselves to study and think. The more you use your brain, the more God can bless you though in it. Be old age is a time of being helpless and accepting the help of others. Old age is a time for being helpless and accepting the help of others. Principle. The test of grace receiving. The test of grace receiving which destroys the mental attitude of a person who is arrogant and proud. Look at John 21:18. There comes a time when you need help. If you're not willing to take it, you got a problem. Your soul will battle over it. In John 21:18, Christ, in speaking to Peter, said, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. That's the prophecy of the martyrdom of Peter in his old age. I remember when I could go all day and all night, it seemed like. No longer capable of doing that. This old body of mine's got the scars of years of hard living on it. Wearing out. I feel it. I thank the Lord, like I say, one day at a time. I never know if this will be my last day on earth or my last day capable of doing something. I watch friends of mine lay in nursing homes, sometimes for years, incapable of doing anything anymore. Or watch young aggressive, some that I did ministry with many years ago. We're bold for the Lord, now no longer able to do anything. Point C, old age is a time of vulnerability to sickness and disease. 1 Kings 15:23. For the rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might, and all that he did to the cities which he built, and then I record in the Chronicles, book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah, but in the time of his old age he was diseased in his feet. Interesting little word there. God brings it to our attention that this old man, when he reached old age, he got diseased in his feet. Now God is trying to tell us a few things along the way here of life and wake us up and teach us. Every word in Scripture has a purpose in it. People think of Job and all that he went through, and that's terrible. Many believe it was elephantitis, and it may well have been elephantitis. Now here we read of someone who has diseased feet. Now in the Hebrew, the word The word diseased is kalah, C-H-A-L-A-H. It's a primitive root word, meaning to be rubbed or worn. Could mean to be weak, sick, afflicted, to grieve, to make sick. Stroke and flattering has various meanings for it, but here it means to be weak and sickly. He had, his feet were weak. Evidently, I take this verse to mean that he was incapable of walking. The diseased feet meant that he was incapable of walking. Now look at 2 Chronicles 16:12. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet even in his disease he did not seek the Lord with the physicians. These doubtlessly used more magic than medicine. Again, Asa failed to seek the Lord regarding his problem. People get old and their body starts to wear out, and it gives them the opportunity to turn to God sometimes, but instead they turn to doctors. They're looking for someone to cure all their problems, their aches and their pains, and help them stay young and keep going. Goody, in his writing of Faust in 1808, said, "He who seizes the right moment is the right man." Let me tell you something. When you suddenly discover you've got the aches and pains of old age, you had better start thinking more and more about the things of God and less about the things of this world. One day, the great mental pressure of old age is security. Look at Psalm 71:9. "Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." Now, principle, the older people get, as a rule, the more security conscious they become. This was the problem faced by Naomi in the book of Ruth, as you may remember. Ruth. Naomi was a very bitter woman in her spiritual reversionism. When Naomi's husband died and sent him to death in Moab, where he had no business being, her two sons died and sent him to death in Moab, where they had no business being, having gone to Moab to escape from the judgment of God upon Israel. Naomi said to her two daughters, "Go return, each of you, to your mother's house." This is Ruth 1:8. "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may rest each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters, why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods." I believe that Orpah was saved and was set back to pagan gods by a reversionistic Naomi. Taught that for years. Well, she went back. She had left them. "Return after your sister." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people should be my people, and your God, my God." Naomi was worried about her own security. She didn't want to have the security responsibility for her two daughters-in-law. None of the law. She understood she could take her daughters-in-law back to into the land, and they were entitled to marry to one of the next of kin. But that might take something away from her. They only had less love for her daughters-in-law than they had for her. She had a problem. She was worried about the future. Principle: fear of being deserted by friends, by family, by loved ones, and by God often overcomes older people. And I can understand what the fear would be like. The older we have gotten, the more people that have abandoned us. I know of one couple that specifically, I'm totally convinced, separated from us because the man and woman, particularly the man, was afraid that someday we might expect something out of him in their old age. And he wasn't interested in being available to help us in our old age. So we pray for this couple every night. Pray for their children every night. God's got to take care of us. I've taught that principle and I have to hold on to it. I don't know how God's going to take care of us. I don't know. America's in the middle of the worst depression in the history of this country. People don't believe it's as bad as they say. The papers say it's not as bad as the 1930s. Let me tell you something. In the 1930s, there was almost no personal private debt because there were no credit cards. A majority of people owned their homes outright, or their farms outright, or had paid more than 50% of the mortgage payments. People drove old cars, cluckers that they could put together and keep. They didn't need new cars or whatever. People still use mules and wagons in a lot of places to get around when necessary. 30s was not a debt country like we are today. Nor was our national debt anything like this at the beginning of it. We're going to see some tough times. I don't know what's going to happen. I see people on the streets every day. Well, I've got to trust God. Curse he that trusteth in man. I know absolutely no believers that would take my wife and I in if we had hard times and couldn't handle it anymore physically. We have no family to do it, and we have no friends to do it. But God will take care of us. He'll raise up somebody or do something. I believe that. That's all I can believe is in my God. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not thine understanding. I'll always acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. But I'm not teaching this to you because of me. I'm teaching this to you because it came up in the text that Samuel was accused of being an old man. And we'll teach you what the Bible says on the subject. Point 7. The time to get Bible doctrine is in your younger years. Psalm 71, 17 and 18. It's time to get Bible doctrines in your younger years. Psalm 71, 17 and 18. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and I will declare thy wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength in this generation, thy power to all who are to come. The principal and important ministry of older believers is to declare God's wondrous deeds as a testimony to the younger generation. We need to declare to the younger generation the great deeds that God has done. What have I seen God do in my lifetime? I've seen God answer the prayers of American people. And out of the infamous day of December 7, 1941, out of the treason, I am totally convinced, of people in high places in this government that knew about it allowed Pearl Harbor to occur. Out of a nation unprepared for war, cast into a war for the political purposes of a group of people who wanted to bring about a one world order. Pick up where Woodrow Wilson had failed and carry on with his massive plan that America was going to rule the world as a one-world government. And out of all of that, God answered prayers, though, and still, despite the arrogance of American people, spared our country and delivered us from the hand of our enemies. My dear friend Bryce Lilly, with the Lord Jesus Christ right now, can't survive the Bataan Death March. Didn't know Christ as his personal Savior back then. Survived the Bataan Death March. Believed in Christ. And was saved. Lived for many years after that. Point 8. Old people have a distinct privilege of seeing the reality of the faithfulness of God when they have a capacity for life through Bible doctrine resident in the soul. Old people have a distinct privilege of seeing the reality of the faithfulness of God when they have the capacity for life through Bible doctrine resident in the soul. Psalm 37:25. And I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. I was young and now I am old. I saw the Lord raise up my wife from breast cancer surgery, through breast cancer surgery. 8 years in June. Saw my wife raised up from brain surgery. I think it'll be 4 years in July. Seeing the power of God. I've seen God supply my wife and my needs many times. I remember one time when we were broke basically and we would have been homeless, but God opened the hearts of a couple and they took us into their home, the man particularly. Not sure the wife was fond of it, but the husband opened it up and made a provision for us to come and live in their home for a while. Grace of God. The grace of God. The time to get doctrine is when we're young. And then we can apply it and see the faithfulness of God in action throughout our lives. Principle. Older people also can have the blessing of the enjoyment of grandchildren. Proverbs 17:6. That's not true of all people. That's a blessing for some. Grandchildren of the crown of old men and the glory of the sons of his father, is their fathers. 1:8. Old people have the distinct privilege of seeing the reality of the faithfulness of God will have a capacity for life through doctrine. Psalm, resident in the soul, Psalm 37:25. The principle, whole people can have the blessings, not always, but often, of the enjoyment of grandchildren. Proverbs 17:6. Point 9. Old age can be a wonderful time when it's accompanied with Bible doctrinal wisdom. Old age can be a wonderful time when it's accompanied by Bible doctrinal wisdom. Proverbs 20:29. Proverbs 20:29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair, the splendor. Point 10. Older people can have the blessings of knowing that they're getting ready to die to the glory of God, and therefore going out into dying grace. Job 42:17. Verse 16. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons, 4 generations, and Job died an old man full of days. Since Job lived to such a great old age, he fully recovered from his health problem. God completely restored him to good health. Job was probably over 200 years old when he died, close to 240 perhaps. And I believe that Job was a young man when he was tested. I believe that Job was a gray-haired old man, perhaps 100 years old. Titus 2:1 says, look at Titus 2:1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Verse 2, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, silent in faith and love and perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young women, men, to be sensible. We're going to look in the next class at standards for old people. Some standards for old people. God's standard for the senior citizen. The male and the female. Father, we thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, but accomplish all you design it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.